boxes of cassettes and CDs were coming in over the border. Just to say something about Zim Zim song, whereas I feel I'm now heading for a queue for music. She got death threats as a result. It's quite a surprising song, and I think the most surprising song to find. There was plenty of music, but there were conditions attached. There's a great cultural life there, and there are great people both within Afghanistan and outside Afghanistan who are playing and making that music, and I really think it deserves to be heard.
Welcome to another Gondwana Sound podcast with me, Jill Turner. We're going to be taking a listen to the Rough Guide to the Music of Afghanistan, a new compilation album. Now, some of you will be familiar with the Rough Guide travel books, but for many years, World Music Network have also been publishing their companion guides to music around the world. It's not often that you get to find such a cross-section of music from Afghanistan, all well recorded and all in one place on one CD. And with the country in the news virtually every day, this Rough Guide really caught my attention. It's compiled by Simon Broughton, editor-in-chief of Songlines magazine. He's been to Afghanistan several times to film Breaking the Silence for the BBC, a documentary about the return of music to the country after the fall of the Taliban, and also to organise two live concerts on Radio Kabul. When I discovered he was behind the compilation, I called him at his London office to talk about the album and started by asking him how his passion for the music of Afghanistan began.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I hadn't visited Afghanistan before I went there to make the television documentary for the BBC, but I had visited India and Pakistan and was a big fan of the music there. But specifically, it happened because while the Taliban were in power in Afghanistan, there was this complete ban on music. And John Bailey, who's a big specialist in the music of Afghanistan, wrote an article for Songlines about the banning of music and how it was done and the effect of it. And in a way, the threat, well, the very real threat there was to the survival of musical culture in Afghanistan, and particularly at the time John Bailey wrote the article, which was early in 2001, you know, there was no idea that this regime would come to an end, which of course it did. So I was asked by the BBC to go and do a film about the return of music to Afghanistan and people rediscovering their musical culture, reuniting with their musical culture after the fall of the Taliban. And it was fascinating, partly because people said, the country's in too much of a state that was, you know, receiving a lot of aid. Economically, it was a total mess. You know, people aren't going to be thinking about music. But it was so different to that. It was so clear how people were just hungry for music. And just as food was pouring in over the border from Pakistan, boxes and boxes of cassettes and CDs were coming in over the border. And you really got this sense of people reconnecting with their culture after, in the case of Kabul, 4 or 5 years of musical silence. I think people underappreciate how significant it is to be deprived of you know, a musical culture and a cultural identity. And to see those extraordinary circumstances underlined how powerful music is in terms of a self statement of identity. So it was a very exciting time to go there. Of course, horrific in many ways. And I spoke to fantastic musicians, some of whom had left the country while the Taliban were in power. Others, basically had just had to shut up. So one of my favorite musicians who appears on the CD, the Rough Guide CD, is called Mashi Nai. He's a wonderful instrumental player of an instrument, bowed instrument called the sarinda, and he'd worked as a butcher all the time that the Taliban were in power, having had a job at Radio Kabul and having toured internationally as a instrumentalist, he was suddenly back to, you know, had to hack meat in the market in Kabul, And, you know, at least as soon as the Taliban left, he was able to go back to his job at the radio and perform concerts. And indeed, he was also invited out to France and to the UK to perform over here.
Taking a look at the rough guide to the music of Afghanistan, and in the sleeve notes, Simon writes about how the Taliban controlled the country from 1996 to 2001, closing down Afghan TV and also changing the name of the national radio station to Radio Sharia. However, in Dari and Pashto, the main languages of the Afghan people, the word music actually refers to musical instruments. So a ban on music didn't include unaccompanied songs. And as an ironic consequence, one of the main singers in Radio Sharia found himself in charge of songs without music. But while Simon states that the Taliban have the most notorious reputation when it comes to music, they haven't been the only regime to exert cultural pressure. And here I refer to Ustad Mawash, one of Afghanistan's beloved singers. There's two of her tracks on the album. And as a woman, she defied tradition and her family, who didn't really want her to study music or to sing at all. And she went and spent many hours in Karabat, the musician's quarter in Kabul. She now lives in exile in California. And although she dreams of returning to her homeland, she says, "I left because women were forbidden to sing. I shall return when they are allowed to." So while Simon was on the phone, I took the opportunity to ask him, whilst compiling the album and in his previous visits to Afghanistan, if he had noticed a wind of change when it comes to women singers.
The situation, particularly for women singers, got worse and worse. It's interesting how the many changes of regime in Afghanistan have had very different attitudes towards music. In the 1970s, when Kabul was a sort of stopping off point on the hippie trail to India, Afghanistan was a very moderate, easygoing place, lovely wine, there were rock festivals in Kabul. It was a very westernized place. Interestingly, then there was the Russian-backed regime, and they were quite pro-music, and that's when sort of new studios and things were built. There was a lot of music played, but, you know, all the musicians had to basically support the regimes. There was plenty of music, but there were conditions attached. Then with the jihad, the fight against the Soviet occupation, it was obviously Islamists who were pursuing that fight, and when they drove the Russians out, they did start to impose restrictions on music, and the first of these were restrictions on female singers. And it's interesting, I spoke to Nagma, who was a lovely Pashto singer, also now in exile. She was there at this period when sort of civil war was going on, and different people, you know, both the Islamists and the former communists, you know, wanted her to sing at their parties, and certainly a degree of hypocrisy on the part of, you know, the Islamists sort of trying to ban women, but then privately inviting them to sing at their parties. So anyway, the Mujahideen, when they assumed power, they basically stopped most of the women singers, placed other restrictions on music, and then when the Taliban came in, that was a notch even further, and all music other than songs in praise of the Taliban and unaccompanied religious songs were banned. So each phase of Afghan history has had its different attitude to music. And then, indeed, since the fall of the Taliban, you know, it wasn't like suddenly everything was okay again. When I went to organize the concert in 2002, December 2002, so this was about a year after the fall of the Taliban, we very much wanted to have a woman singer take part in the concert, which was going to be broadcast around the world live. And it was deemed unsafe for singer to take part. When I went back to do the second concert I did there, which was 2004, we did have a woman singer taking part, performing sort of live in a duet on stage. And that was actually the first time that had happened in Kabul for very many years. And of course, since then, there's been the whole Afghan Star phenomenon, which is this sort of pop idol show, which has become hugely popular on television out there. This year, they had the fourth series of that. And there was a rather good documentary film called Afghan Star made about the whole contest and following certain singers. In fact, it's one of those singers, Sitara Hussainzadeh, who opens the Rough Guide CD. And she didn't win. She got to the final and sort of horrified even her young 20-something compatriots in the show by sort of moving too much and, you know, dancing too much on stage. It's incredible how conservative the society is there. She got death threats as a result of this, but fortunately nothing actually happened, and she has gone on to continue a musical career. Bit by bit, slowly, women are coming and, you know, performing live on television. But really, it's you know, alongside the continuing chaos that there is in Afghanistan, you know, one can't underestimate the difficulties for women in music and in many other aspects of life. Kajaki, kajaki, abroid nishigash duman, chikonom absus mole marduman, kajaki, abroid nishigash duman, chikonom absus mole marduman, zim 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 zim
events happening in them, you know, whether it's war, whether it's terrorism,
And so it suddenly, you know, conjures up all sorts of interesting images when you hear the places that are named in the song. And I don't know whether that's intentional or not, but it's quite a surprising song, and I think the most surprising song to find on the Rough Guide to the Music of Afghanistan.
Salam Alek, Kabul. Salam Alek, Berlin. Salam Alek, Moscow. Salam Alek, New York. Salam Alek, Santiago, Mogadishu. Santiago, Mogadishu. Salam Alek, Paris. Salam Alek, Shanghai. Salam Alek, London. Salam Alek, Delhi. Salam Alek, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Yeah. Give us a piece of peace. Give us a piece of love. Give us a piece of peace. Give us a piece of love.
Salam Alek track is not typical of Fahad Daria's usual style, and I was very keen to include this other track, Salam Afghanistan, which, when I was last in Kabul, which was 2004, was a huge hit, and that was just prior to the first big concert that Fahad Daria gave back in Kabul. It was like, you know, sort of Bruce Springsteen returning after being, you know, years overseas. He did this concert in the football ground, and this was the football ground that the Taliban had used for executions and things. So it was like a sort of exorcism of the Taliban history from this site. And that's why I thought it was very important to have Salam Afghanistan as well on this collection.
ازی آواره ازی سرگردان ازی تنهایی و ازی زندان بکابل جان بکابل جان بکابل جان سلام افغانستان سلام بکابل جان بکابل جان بکابل جان سلام افغانستان سلام ازی آواره ازی سرگردان ازی تنهایی و ازی زندان بکابل جان بکابل جان بکابل جان سلام افغانستان سلام بکابل جان بکابل جان بکابل جان سلام افغانستان سلام افغانستان سلام افغانستان افغانستان سلام افغانستان کنم نیست منزلم یاران غریب دامن دریای کابلم یاران غریب دامن دریای کابلم یاران او یا قربا خسته میخواند مرا زیارت دلهای خسته میخواند کجا روم که نباشد غم دلم یاران غم دلم یاران ازی آواره ازی سرگردان ازی تنهایی و ازی زندان بکابل جان بکابل جان بکابل جان سلام افغانستان سلام بکابل جان بکابل جان بکابل جان سلام افغانستان سلام
پلک مرا به گناه نکرده میگیرد، یتیم مند سر راه قاتلم یاران، یتیم مند سر راه قاتلم یاران. صدای ملت هر دم شهید و آوار، صدای ملت هر دم شهید و آوار. رباب کهنه زخم و تحملم یاران، تحملم یاران. از یاوارم، از سرگردان، از تنهایی و از زندان، با کابل جان، با کابل جان، با کابل جان سلام، افغانستان سلام، با کابل جان، با کابل جان، با کابل جان سلام، افغانستان سلام، افغانستان سلام، افغانستان، 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 افغانستان سلام.
Well, we've heard two contemporary sounds of Afghanistan, Zim Zim Zim, given a pop makeover by Sitara Hussainzada, a participant in the Afghan Star competition, and Farah Daria's somewhat 80s classic rock-sounding track, Salam Alek. But what else has he included? I asked Simon what his aims were when he was compiling the album, and when it comes to the sort of more traditional songs, is it actually possible to say what the defining characteristics are of Afghani music?
Well, obviously with a compilation like this, you try and have as much variety as possible, and one thing I was very keen to do is to make actually the first compilation, which includes popular music, classical music and folk music, and gives pretty much equal emphasis to each. There are other compilations of Afghan music, but certainly for the Western market, they very much focus on traditional music. It's very nice to give a mixture which gives a broader cross-section of what's going on in the country. Because there are different nationalities, different languages, all sorts of different influences, it's quite hard to say Afghan music sounds like this. There are little bits of influences from Iran in the west, from Central Asia in the north, from India and Pakistan in the south and east. So it is a melting pot. But there is a style. I mean, there's a very lyrical style to Afghan music, and I'd say that the song forms and things tend to be much shorter than say in India and Iran, where they're much more extended forms. And I think that's a stronger influence from folk music actually that's come through into the classical music. There is a very beautiful instrument which is the national instrument of Afghanistan called the rubab. And it's a sort of lute. You could call it boat-shaped. It's got a big sort of solid body covered with skin and then a short neck coming out of it. And it's got a low, deep, muscular sort of sound. My favorite player in Kabul is a guy called Ghulam Hussein. And we've done a big feature, actually, on him and the rubab in the latest songlines. And he's a wonderful player. And I was very keen to include him on the CD. He wasn't around, sadly, when I made the Breaking the Silence film. He was in Pakistan during the Taliban period and returned, I think, about 6 months after they left. But he's now very much a fixture in Kabul. He's teaching the rubab there. And, you know, I hope it's through people like him that a new generation of great Afghan musicians will appear. Thank you.
Well, if I'm allowed to indulge myself, one of my favourite tracks from the album comes from Ahmad Zahir. It's upbeat, bouncy, and not unlike some Bollywood tracks I've heard. So I wanted to know more about the man behind the music.
He's on this album because he is absolutely, you know, the person most Afghans adore. He died in 1979 in a rather mysterious car crash. And in the years, in the sort of 15, 20 years leading up to that, he became, well, his nickname is the Afghan Elvis. And he was really the man who started a Western influence sort of fusion music in Afghanistan. So he had a group with saxophones and guitars and so on. And a very nice voice. He was actually the son of a politician who very much disapproved of him going into music. But he said to his father, who was prime minister at the time, "If you die, there are people, you know, around Afghanistan who may not, you know, even know who you were. But you know, if I die, everyone in Afghanistan will know, you know, who I was." It's proved absolutely true. I mean, you know, his cassettes and CDs are on sale everywhere. And I think a lot of people look back to his music as a sort of golden age. It was, you know, the last time Afghanistan was at peace. So there's a lot of pent-up emotion in the music of Ahmad Zahir. And certainly he's little known outside Afghanistan, but it's impossible to underestimate the power and the love that people have for this music in the country.
Laili 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 John John John, dil mat kar diwana. Laili 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 John John John, dil mat kar diwana. دهی کش لق نامدی وای وای مر کشتی برمون دهی کش لق نامدی وای وای مر کشتی برمون مادر نبیند آخه چشم سیاه ساخه مادر نبیند آخه مادر بیند نبیند بای بای عاشق نبیند آخه مادر بیند نبیند بای بای عاشق نبیند آخه لیلی 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 جان 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 دل من کردی ویرو دهی کش لقن آمدی جان جان مرا کشتی برمون دهی کش لقن آمدی وای وای مرا کشتی برمون بالا باران آمد یار بدالم آمد از بالا باران آمد یار بدالم آمد یک بوسه طلب ندام وای وای چشمش بگیریان آمد یک بوسه طلب ندام وای وای چشمش بگیریان آمد لیلی 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 جان 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 دل من کردی ویران لیلی 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 جان 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 دل من کردی ویران دای کشنا نامدی وای وای مرا کشتی برمون دای کشنا نامدی وای وای مرا کشتی برمون لیلی 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 جان 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 دل من کردی وای لیلی لیلی لیلی.
There is a resurgence of Taliban power. There's, you know, question marks over the Karzai government. I think we're going to be hearing a lot from Afghanistan over the years to come, and I'm not the best person to predict what the outcome of all that is going to be. The reason for doing this disc is really to say, look, there's a lot more to Afghanistan than just war and fighting. There's a great cultural life there, and there are great people both within Afghanistan and outside Afghanistan who are playing and making that music, and I really think it deserves to be heard.
A Gondwana Sound podcast with Simon Broughton, compiler of the Rough Guide to the Music of Afghanistan, produced by Jill Turner and first broadcast on Sheffield Live. Featured tracks were Lagari Tunes from Mashinai, Zim 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 from Sitara Hussein Zada, Salam Alek and Salam Afghanistan from Fahad Daria, Bar Ayadat Beya from Ghulam Hussein, and finally Laili Jan from Ahmad Zahir. Some of the 15 tracks on the Rough Guide to the Music of Afghanistan, released in September 2010 by World Music Network, which includes also a bonus CD from Ahmad Sham Sufi Qawwali Group and relevant information from the Rough Guide books.